Say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Moore, would you like to proceed?
Yes, we are here tonight for public hearings, and when the council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. I will announce each application. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant will then be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify whom you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lang, and it will be made part of the record. You are not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing we have tonight is conditional use number 1795, the application of Stephen Krebs Creative Garden Center. Mr. Lang?
Yes, this is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for commercial greenhouses and a retail garden center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.5 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Route 20, also known as Road 382, approximately 1,100 feet northwest of Road 384. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on October 22nd of 2009. For the benefit of council, I'll pass down copies of the survey site plan for this application. The commission was also provided with the same survey. They were also provided with a series of photographs. The photographs are taken in August of this year and also last winter. This site had been was a subject of litigation before the Court of Chancery with correspondence on file dating back to 2004, and the conditional use could not be applied for until that litigation was resolved per advice of the county attorney. Therefore, the application was finally applied for on April 30th of 2008.
So it's already in business?
Pardon?
Already in business then?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
We received comments from DLDOT, which are part of my report. The county engineering department provided comments twice, once from the time the application was submitted, and again on October 21st of this year. Sussex Conservation District provided comments. The file also contains comments and correspondence from Dennis L. Smith in opposition to the application, which were received on September 22nd. Those comments were provided to the commission and contain 7 pages with a copy of public notices for the commission hearing and council hearing and 4 exhibits. It was also incorporated into the file an additional 11 pages of information and 15 additional exhibits, which Mr. Smith asked be placed in the file. Mr. Krebs was present and gave testimony in his, for his application, which is a part of the report. He also submitted letters in support from the Honorable State Representative Gerald W. Hocker, Sandra L. DeChurch of Blossoms Incorporated, Christian Phillips of PNC Bank, Jane M. Cooper, Cheryl Esposito, and Diana Thompson, all in support, and a petition containing 38 signatures in support. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application other than the applicant. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1795 for Stephen Krebs being Creative Garden Center for commercial greenhouses and a retail garden center based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the use is agricultural in nature and is consistent with the underlying agriculture residential zoning. Two, the use is a benefit to the local residents and supports the local agriculture economy. Three, the proposed use will not have an adverse impact on the community or traffic in the area. And four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to commercial greenhouses and a retail garden center and other uses incidental to those uses. Such incidental uses would include the sale of landscape pavers, an off-site bobcat and or landscaping services, mulch and stone, firewood, etc. The barbecue, shed sales, and other uses not incidental or similar to the permitted uses will require a separate public hearing. B, there shall be no more than 8 employees on site. C, the hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 days per week. D, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT requirements. E, the property shall connect to county sewer when such sewer becomes available and the connection shall comply with all county engineering department requirements. F, the final site plan shall contain the location of all greenhouses, buildings, bins, and pads for the storage of mulch, gravel, and stone, and areas designated for outside storage and display. G, security and task lighting shall be downward lighted and shielded so as to prevent encroachment on neighboring properties. H, there shall be no signage beyond the scope and limitations already approved by the Sussex County Board of Adjustment. No banners, flags, or feather flags with writing visible on them shall be permitted to advertise the business. I, the dumpster shall be screened from view of County Road 382 and neighboring properties. J, no display of wares, stock, or goods for sale shall be permitted in the front yard setback. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application for conditional use 1795 to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. Mr. Burton was absent during that public hearing. And that's all I have. I should have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lang?
What kind of zoning did it have when it started?
AR.
It's AR1
it's
zoning.
AR1.
Yeah, still is.
But some of the uses didn't were not allowed under AR, so that's why we're here.
It was required because he's operating a commercial garden center.
Okay. Retail.
Retail, wholesale, whichever would still require public hearing as conditional use.
Okay.
Lawrence, how big is the front yard setback?
The front yard setback in agriculture residential district would be 40 feet.
Okay. Because these pictures we have here, obviously, there's stuff within it. That's 40 feet.
Oh, they're right on the road.
There's items displayed in the front yard setback, no question.
And all these sheds would have to go out here, right?
Well, the statement made in the record was that he was attempting to see if the sale of sheds would work out, and it didn't, so he's going to remove the sheds.
Okay.
So he will not be selling sheds there.
Is the applicant or his representative here? Come forward, please.
Good evening.
Good evening.
State your name and your address.
Stephen Krebs, 14443 Shiloh Church Road, Laurel, Delaware.
Would you like to go ahead and tell the council what you want to do?
Well, I've applied for my application for conditional use for the garden center that's been there 7 years. We want to go ahead and keep on doing business in Sussex County. It's been a tough year for us this year, but we want to continue on moving on what we're doing. There's some things that I've looked over, reviewed, the sheds and all like that. I have pictures. They have been removed. They were removed last Friday. Pretty much everything's maintained. It's been maintained since I've been there for 7 years. I've kept everything clean. Customers are pretty happy with my location, and I just want to keep on doing what I like to do. And I love landscaping, and I love the retail store business.
Are you here as a result of a violation notice?
No violation, no.
You just wanted to come into compliance?
Yes, stay in compliance with the conditional use, correct.
Does council have any questions for the applicant?
The Board of Adjustment, you went to the Board of Adjustment for something, for signage? Is that what you said, Marge?
Drake.
What was that, when was that done?
Oh, boy.
And they basically figured out the signage, because it looks like there's a lot of signs. Some of the pictures we saw here, were signs seem to be all over the place and different things.
I have a copy of it.
It was like 900 and some square feet total signage. I have some banners that are on the fence.
Fences, right.
That I need. I'm going to remove them.
That's what.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. But basically, the Board of Adjustment did give him some approvals for signage.
Yeah, he had a the greenhouses are permitted as long as he's raising in the agricultural district.
They're permitted,
right.
But then
the only other, don't worry about it, Lawrence. That's all right. If they get an approval for it, he's got the approval. The one issue, gentlemen, up here in the council, I was looking at number B. It said no more. No, you know, there shall be no more than 8 employees on site. I find that to be very difficult to enforce, and I would recommend that we strike that one, because I don't see us sending inspectors to your location to see if you've got 9 employees.
Yes, sir.
It's
I carry usually 5 or 6, and that's about
it. But I'm just saying, I think that's unrealistic for us to be concerned about the number of employees you have on site, as if that's going to have anything positive or negative impact on the zoning issues.
I agree with you totally. I was thinking the same thing.
Anything else, Mr. Cole?
I don't see anything else. I think the applicant's comfortable with everything, and I am too. No more questions.
If there's no more questions.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on behalf of this application?
You can have a seat.
Thank you.
Anyone else in favor? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Hearing no, none. Mr. Phillips, there's no other statement, so this record can be closed and the hearing concluded.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Can we change that any amount of employees?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think now's the time to do it. I'll make a motion then. We strike B, which references 8 employees.
Okay. Second.
Just strike it totally?
Any amount. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I agree with you. I'll second it.
All right. we have a motion second to strike 4B. To eliminate any reference to the number of employees on site. Is there any further discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Other than that, I would ask Mr. Moore to go ahead and read the title.
Okay, the title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for commercial greenhouses and a retail garden center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.5 acres, more or less, with the following conditions. The use shall be limited to commercial greenhouses and a retail garden center and other uses incidental to those uses. Such incidental uses would include the sale of landscape pavers, off-site bobcat and or landscaping services, mulch and stone, firewood, etc. Barbecue, shed sales, and other uses not incidental or similar to the permitted uses will require a separate public hearing. The hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 days per week. All entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT requirements. The property shall connect to county sewer when such sewer becomes available, and the connection shall comply with all county engineering department requirements. The final site plan shall contain the location of all greenhouses, buildings, bins, and pads for storage of mulch, gravel, and stone, and areas designated for outside storage and display. Security and task lighting shall be downward lighted and shielded so as to prevent encroachment on neighboring properties. There shall be no signage beyond the scope and limitations already approved by the Sussex County Board of Adjustment. No banners, flags, or feather flags with writing visible on them shall be permitted to advertise the business. The dumpster shall be screened from view of County Route 382 and neighboring properties. No display of ware, stock, or goods for sale shall be permitted in the front yard setback. The final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt conditional use 1795 with the conditions read by Mr. Moore. Is there any further discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Please articulate your reasons for the vote.
In accordance with the findings of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Vincent?
I vote yes. It certainly makes sense. The area, it's already existing business, and based on recommendations of Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes. Since there's no one here to oppose it, it must be a good business.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, with the conditions that Planning and Zoning recommended.
I vote yes. I find an appropriate use. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next hearing this evening is conditional use number 1800 filed on behalf of Cheryl Normandill.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for office and retail use to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.5 acre more or less, lying southeast of Route 24, 430 feet southwest of Road 284, also known as Mulberry Knoll Road, and being northwest of Road 284, Mulberry Knoll Road, 515 feet south of Route 24. For the record, the county council members have a copy of an exhibit booklet, the three-ring binder, about an inch size, is a part of the record and has been a part of the records since October 13th. The commission in the public hearing on October 22nd, excuse me. Also heard comments from DLDOT, Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. And we also received letters in opposition from Chester Bush and Leroy Bush expressing concerns about traffic or increased traffic and the lack of a traffic light at the intersection with a lot of accidents due to high traffic. Mark Davison of Design Consultants Group, LLC, was present on behalf of the applicant with Cheryl Normando, Sue McCarthy, and Kimberly Grimes, I think that's right, and gave testimony on behalf of the applicants. Mr. Davison also submitted some proposed conditions of approval for consideration and charts on a TMDL calculation for the watershed. Ken and Sue Denbo, residents adjoining property owner, spoke in opposition and gave testimony. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application, and on October 22nd, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On November 5th of 2009, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1800 for Cheryl Normandale for office and retail use based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the project is of a public or semi-public character and will be beneficial to the surrounding neighborhood. Two, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update designates the subject property as within the environmentally sensitive developing area and states that retail and office uses are appropriate in this area. Three, central water is available to the project. Four, the proposed project will have access from Mulberry Knoll Road. There will be no access via Route 24. All entrances, intersection, roadway improvements, et cetera, will be reviewed and approved by DLDOT and will be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT. Five, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the community. Six, this recommendation of approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the maximum building square footage shall not exceed 9,200 square feet. The proposed building shall be one story as proffered by the applicant. B, the uses shall be limited to office or retail uses as proposed by the applicant. The following uses shall not occur on premise. One, filling stations. Two, used car lots or other lots for automotive sales or storage. Three, automotive repair. Four, liquor store. Five, tobacco store. Six, nightclub. Seven, restaurants. Eight, dry cleaning and laundry establishments. Nine, tattoo parlor. 10, undertaking business or establishments or funeral homes. And 11, dog kennels. C, all dumpsters and loading areas shall be screened with a 6-foot-high privacy fence and landscaping. Final site plan shall indicate the location of the dumpster and the type of fencing that surrounds it. D, a 6-foot-high privacy fence shall be placed along the boundary of parcels 111 and 112.01. The final site plan shall indicate the type of fencing in this area. E, all entrances, intersections, roadway improvements, and multimodal facilities required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT and within the time periods required. F, the project shall be served by an individual on-site wastewater disposal system as approved by DENREC until the site can be served by a county sewer district. G, potable drinking water shall be provided by Tidewater Utilities Incorporated. H, stormwater management and erosion and sediment shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements and shall be operated using best management practices to provide positive groundwater recharge. I, the site may have two non-illuminated signs, one on Route 24 and one on Marbury Knoll Road, which shall not exceed 32 square feet on any side or facing, identifying the uses permitted on the same premise. The sign along Route 24 shall include directions for entering the premise from Marbury Knoll Road. J, parking lot and security lighting shall be provided and will have downward illumination and shielded so that no illumination will encroach over any property line. K, a landscaping plan shall be provided as part of the final site plan. L, any commercial ventilation fans, vents, and heating and air conditioning units will be placed on the roof of the building. M, no outside speakers, bells, or ringers will be permitted for any use. N, no outside storage of pallets, crates, or building materials will be permitted. And O, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Merton did not vote since he was not in attendance during the public hearing. Since the October 22nd, I have received 9 emails in opposition to this application, and I'll pass those down in a minute. There are two of them are from Mr. and Mrs. George Bell. There's also one from Joe Szymanski, one from Lisa Kirikoff. If I say anybody's name wrong, that's me, sorry. Marina and John Reinemann, Lorraine Ellis-Papp, Leonard and Claire Wade, R.N. J. Fetterman, Arthur and Maureen Sutton, and another one from Gary Papp. And I'll pass it down for the council to review as the public hearing proceeds. And they all were in opposition, so there's 9 in opposition. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Does the council have any questions? If not, is the applicant or representative available?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Mark Davidson. I'm with Design Consultants Group, located in Milton, Delaware. I'm here tonight on behalf representing the owners of the property, which is Cheryl Normandew and 32 Blue Seas LLC.
What did you say?
32 Blue Seas LLC.
Okay, thank you.
With me tonight is Cheryl Normandew and Kimberly Grimm of 32 Blue Seas. As Mr. Ling stated, this is an application for a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a 9,200 square foot, one-story building to be used for general and medical offices and some light neighborhood business retail uses, located on 1.5 acres.
I'm not asking to restrict it to medical offices, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, okay. Could be any office.
Yes, yeah, that's
okay.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
The property is located along between two roads.
Between Delaware Route 24, which is on the, for the purpose of tonight, I'll consider the front portion of the property. At the rear, we're located on Mulberry Hill Road. We're adjacent, the property is adjacent to the, on the north side of the Beacon Middle School, which is in the Cape and Lopin School District. The property is also located approximately 1.5 miles north of the Mulberry Knoll subdivision along Mulberry Knoll Road. As stated in the Planning Commission's recommendation for approval, the property is, according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, we are in the environmentally sensitive developing area, which states that retail and office uses are an appropriate use. The requirements of section 115-194.3 are in the booklets and have been addressed with this application. I'm going to run through a few of those. I'm not going to take up too much of your time with it, but I will talk a little bit about each a portion of those. Again, the 2004 Strategies for State Policies and Spending designates the subject property in an investment level 2. The property is in Tidewater Utilities District for serving water for the site. There is a willing and able letter within the booklet. The property at this time will be served by an on-site wastewater disposal system. There's a Denerec site evaluation within the booklet. According to Sussex County, we are in the Gosley Creek Sanitary Sewer Planning Area, and speaking with Rob Davis at the Engineering Department, the future connection into the sanitary sewer system is anticipated. At this time, the middle school is in the district. They have a sewer line. There is a force main that runs down Mulberry Knoll that connects to an existing manhole located on Route 24, but the school put the system in. There is a pump station located just to the south of our property, and right now the pump station is sized just for the school. Future upgrades within the planning area for the Gosley Creek Sanitary Sewer District are anticipated, and this property will be connecting into some type of sanitary sewer in the future. Located within the booklets, I put in an area map of some other uses, some conditional uses that are in the area and some other commercial uses that are in the area. What we've done is I've drawn a 1 mile radius on some of the uses, and we're in the vicinity right across the way from this, across Route 24 is Cop Seafood. There's also, and again, the middle school is, they do have a conditional use for the school itself. You have Grizzly's Landscaping, there's a Lamps and Shape window treatment store within the area. Further west, down Route 24, there are some studios, there's a Midway Service Repair Shop, Beach Homes, Mid-Atlantic Family Practice. To the east of us going towards Route 1, there is the Beebe Medical Center. And again, the idea for what our application is for doing some type of medical as well as professional office is to help support the Beebe Medical Facility.
The entrance for this property will be located off of Mulberry Knoll Road. No access will be allowed off of Route 24. There was no traffic impact study that was required by DLDOT. But we did, in the booklet, I do have a letter of no objection for the entrance location for this property. Also, what we had to do as part of the application, within the site plan, you'll see a significant amount of area. We had to show some of the improvements that was going on out on Route 24. And as part of the actual site plan does cut off, but there is, we had to show a map to DLDOT how at the intersection of Mulberry Knoll Road and at the Route 24. Again, the owners of this property had to designate about 20 feet of their land out front along Route 24, along with a 5-foot permanent easement.
Are they talking about improvements at the intersection?
If improvements happen, it'll be in the form of possible restriping to make it a better access. Uh-huh. Those are still under negotiations with DLDOT. What we talked about was being able to place the entrance. Again, we showed these improvements here, and there was no way to fit the entrance off of Route 24 safely. Mm-hmm. So the only entrance that we're allowed to have is off of Mulberry Knoll Road at the rear of the property. Again, during the entrance plan process, any off-site road improvements will be the responsibility of the owners of this property for the placement of the entrance. One of the other things that we had to provide for DLDOT is a 15-foot permanent easement along Mulberry Knoll Road. That would be for the use of a 10-foot wide multi-use path that will have to be built during the time the entrance is built. Stormwater for the site at this time, what we're showing is we're showing an infiltration pond that's going to be located out front. Some of the soils work that we've submitted that's in the booklet, the soils out there are great for doing infiltration. The water tables are deep. So right now what we have is water tables that are greater than 72 inches, so it makes it for a great way to be able to recharge the water on site. So there will be no off-site discharge of any type of stormwater management for this project. Everything will be self-contained on site. I've also submitted, it's in the back of the booklet, it's actually been put in the findings of facts and the conditions, is a TMDL reduction chart that is, we are in the TMDL low reduction area. And if not to bore you with all the numbers that are in that chart, but using the BMPs that we're going to be using with the infiltration and being able to self-contain the stormwater on site, we'll meet 100% of the TMDL reduction for nitrogen and phosphorus removal with this project. There was no presence of any endangered or threatened species within this site. There are no wetlands on this property. We are outside the 500-year floodplain, so there are no floodplains on the property. Approximately 0.73 acres of this site is open space, which the property is only 1.5 acres in size, and what we've been able to do is, the way we've laid out this property here is the building will be facing Route 24. All the parking will be behind the building. There will be no parking within, in front, going along Route 24. And what we've been able to do is screen the entire property here with some type of fencing, which I'll get into in a minute, and a lot of vegetation, a lot of landscape. As required in the recommendation of approval by the Planning Commission, we will supply a landscaping plan with the final subdivision, or with the final site plan. The proposed conditional use of this property for general medical office and neighborhood business uses will enhance the general character of the neighborhood by providing for some small-scale retail shopping. The types in the conditions, I in the back, on the last page of the conditions that are in the booklet, I put together sort of a list of uses and restricted uses. And the restricted uses, of course, were in the recommendation by the Planning Commission. What I wanted to make present was, we're not just going to put in any type of retail. The type of retail that they were looking at was, you know, maybe a small, something that would sell small groceries or produce. Or if
medical offices, if they happen to get some doctors in here to be able to do medical office and other type of retail uses, being able to sell or rent out medical supplies. So we're not talking about like a pharmacy or anything, but just something that would be able to sell medical supplies. So that's where some of the retail uses. And like I said, on the second page, I put a list together of what the applicants here would like to see out here on the property.
Were there any limitation as far as the hours that it could be open or the days? I don't have the conditions in front of me from the commission. Were they limiting the days?
We had talked about that at the commission, and what I didn't place any hours within, because depending on what type of uses that, they do happen to get there.
Because if it were produce stand, it would be a heavy weekend use. That's what you mentioned something about that, so I was just thinking that would be heavy
weekend. Right. If we felt that, if it was possibly, if it was some kind of a retail use, then something of in the lines of somewhere between the hours of 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning to 7 at night would probably be a fitting for a retail use. But if it was general office, professional offices, we know doctors hold night hours. Some professionals, they off. I used myself as an example. Sometimes we stay late at night at the office working on projects. So it just depends on the type of use. That's why we didn't really limit ourselves to we didn't put a time frame or business hours within the conditions. Certainly, and I can say that Ms. Normandu, she does live in Mulberry Knoll. She's actually one of the first lots located in Mulberry Knoll here. So this is right here, sort of the gateway to her house. And there's nothing that she's going to put in there that's going to be a detriment for her coming and going from her place of residence. With that, we just feel that the proposed application does meet the purpose of the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan, and that it does promote the orderly growth, the convenience, order, and prosperity, and the welfare of the county. And that's my presentation.
Okay. Is there any questions of the council? If not, is there anyone else that would like to speak on behalf of this application?
I'm just curious. If you're driving down 24, you can see the building from 24, right?
That is correct.
And I guess there'd be a sign telling you how to get there, or?
Well, that was one of the things that we had discussed. Yeah, if
coming down 24, the only detriment to our would be if anybody was coming west, because you wouldn't be able to.
You'd be past the road already by the time you saw it.
Hopefully that would only happen maybe one time. Then you would get used to it, and you would know you would have to turn.
Have you ever tried to turn on 24? Make a U-turn on 24? I live right about a mile from there, so that's why I'm asking these questions.
Again, and that's one of the reasons why Delta had us play out this scenario. They had us go out and locate the exact lane striking and everything here, because I believe there is a dedicated left turn lane into the school, and I'm hoping.
That's nice there at the school.
So what we're hoping for is what we've asked for, and one of the conditions that was by the Planning Commission is two signs, one on Route 24 and one on Mulberry Knoll Road, meeting the county's requirements. And I do have them shown here, the two sign locations, and hopefully people coming east, they'll be out on the sign, it'll be able to tell them to be able to make the next right.
Too bad they can't access that school traffic light somehow.
No, that's...
Instead of having to use Mulberry Knoll.
Oh, you mean as far as...
You know, they have a nice entrance with a traffic light at the school.
Right, being able to come from, yeah, yeah. I think that that would be...
Any other questions from the council? If not, is there anyone else like to speak in favor of the application? One more time, anyone in favor? Would anyone like to speak in opposition? Would you come forward, please, and state your name? And since we have multiple people speaking, if you could try to limit your comments to something that's not already said. It's okay to say ditto on something. You know,
okay to be a ditto head.
That's right.
Council members, my name is Ken Denbell. I live at 19688 Mulberry Knoll. That's the white area on the bottom side of the proposed project. The area is known as Bush's Corner. Anybody who's a long-term resident knows that it's Bush's Corner. They've been there since the 1920s, and the Townsend sold them the just this triangle of land back in the 1920s. It's been a bit of a landmark. There's so much. I was here at the planning and zoning meeting and with my wife, and we voiced our objections. The reason that you see so many more people here today is because they were totally unaware of this. The sign posting, you know, there's going to be a meeting, was facing 24. It's a very narrow sign. The speed limit is 50 miles an hour. If you live on Mulberry Knoll, you're looking ahead up the intersection. This sign was like, it was in front of, you know, not in front of the school fence, but placed closer to the road. But you just didn't see it.
They did that on Plantation Road too, and people didn't see it. You have to put it, you know, you have to put it so that people can see it. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Sorry, George. Excuse me.
Let him finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know what he's talking about. He's right.
We all
he's right.
So
do, I guess.
I went to both planning and zoning meetings, and once we got the results, I notified a few members of the community, and it spread. There's you're going to hear a lot of talk about traffic, so I'm just going to leave all that alone for the most part. I do want to bring up a couple of things that were stated during the Planning and Zoning Commission that were false. They were just flat out not true. The question came up from one of the planning members about the property lines, and they asked the question, did you get a hold of the neighbors, because sometimes property lines migrate, sometimes they change, and the answer was, oh, yes, we did. No. I'm one of the neighbors. Again, they want to put a fence around my house. Nobody contacted me to make sure that the property lines were correct. I went and spoke with the other Bushes involved. Nobody contacted them. The statement was false. It was also stated that the neighborhood was behind this project. That is not true. That is completely not true. The neighborhood did not know. The people at Bush's Corner, two of them sent in letters in opposition to the planning committee, and there has been at least 9 emails sent to the planning commission. I know various council members, bless your hearts, have had emails and letters to the events here. I have questions as to the necessity of putting a building that nobody wants there. Nobody in the neighborhood wants to see this there. It does not enhance the neighborhood. It states in their proposal that this building will be of such a design as it will complement the other houses there. It'll be in line with their structure and whatnot, which is really interesting since the first house was built in 1920 and my house was just rebuilt in 2006. So how is there going to be continuity of fitting into the neighborhood? I have concerns about the traffic and about the safety. Obviously, we get a lot of people who drive up and who drive electric carts, who ride bicycles, who walk up and down our road It's a fairly obscure road. We like it like that. We don't get a lot of traffic. The on one of the traffic studies, the proposed use of earth, the existing conditions with no development, we average 41 vehicles per day. The use or the traffic with the development goes up to over 1,000 vehicles per day. If you'd like, you should have it in your books, but I also have a copy of it right here if anybody would like to take a look at it.
I mean, yeah, bring it. That's fine. If you get copies, bring it up.
Okay. That's a significant increase. It's I would be amazed if the business did that much, increase the traffic that much, but it's still a considerable increase to the amount of traffic that's going to be on Mulberry Knoll. Right now, we are an obscure road. People drive by Mulberry Knoll, they have no reason to turn down there, so they don't. You put a business in there, people are going to start driving down the road, and then they're going to want to go down to the end to see what, you know, what's at the end of this road. Or teenage parking areas at night. There's concerns about safety for the people who like to walk up and down the road, who like to ride their bicycles. Considering the misinformation concerning the community's support behind this store, considering the total lack of any kind of communication between the Blue Seas and Mulberry Knoll at Bush's Corner, I would, you know, with all respect, urge the council to just flatly refuse this. And if not refuse it, at least defer until a time when a deeper study can be made by the council and from the members of the community concerning this project.
Until what?
Defer until?
Until y'all can have a better look at the project.
Revisitor. My question, you're in that bottom white square, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so coming off of 54, it looks like they got to go back by four residential properties to get to their new proposed entrance, which is, what, 500 and some feet from John Wick?
No, two entrances. They have
the one entrance off of Mulberry. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They have an entrance off of here. There's an entrance to one house here, okay. Jeff Bush, and then there's an entrance. Well, the one that serves Jeff Bush also serves him. And
okay, but it's about 500 and some feet off of...
Oh, yeah, this is
at least 500 plus feet, right?
From the intersection of 24, yes.
Okay, so your contention is that bringing all that traffic down to your residential property will actually have quite an effect on your residential type of zoning that you have there in the existing condition. So you're feeling that it will have a negative impact on your quality of life if this happens.
Oh, absolutely. For one thing, for me to visit Bush's of the family, okay, for me to visit them now, instead of just walking across yards, I've got to walk out onto Mulberry Knoll into all of this traffic to get up there. Or I can walk on this easement, the multi-purpose easement.
Well, yeah, okay.
But
it'll dramatically change the setting that your residential home.
Oh, absolutely. They're talking
well,
about putting...
I mean, that's what I'm trying to find out how... That's the impact it's going to have more than anything else.
I have a...
character of the neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely. Instead of it being wide open, it's going to be fenced with a building in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be parking lot lights. I'm an amateur stargazer. I've got a 3-inch telescope. I use it. The school took out part of the sky. This would take out another big section of the sky. But the character of the neighborhood would just be lost.
Well, I'm looking at it from one of these aerial views, and it obviously... And I got a small business, and I have a difficult time understanding why this the proposal to have the entrance so far off of 24 or even around the bend that's on Mulberry Road seems to be at a disadvantage if you are in a commercial activity to get people to find you and to get in there. I mean, to make it whatever. So it seems awkward.
It's going to be awkward. People are, I would imagine, they're going to get confused. Plus, they're going to have such a hassle getting out back onto 24. during the summertime, after a few visits to the store, who's going to want to come in.
You'll say they have a difficult time getting in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, and thank you.
Thank you.
So that's your house in the corner there, in the sharp corner?
Yes.
Okay, and your house with the, okay, I've got, okay, thank you. I have the overhead, have a look at it.
Oh, okay. Anybody else?
Yes, Mr. President, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
I was looking at the State of Delaware Department of Transportation report, and you said this came from the book. Was there a second page to this as well?
Yes, there was.
Next page.
And on the second page, does it show the existing conditions with no development, existing conditions with development, and existing conditions with development under proposed zoning?
Yes, sir. I didn't mention it because, frankly, I don't know what the heck they were thinking when they said 281 vehicles per hour go down our road. I didn't want to bring it up because it's so far out of reality.
That's true. It's not it's nowhere near what it is.
281. You're talking the Beltway.
But this came the same people, I assume.
Yes, it is.
So maybe both of them are wrong then.
Well, no, actually, I live on Mulberry Knoll. 41 cars per hour is about, or per day, actually, is about right. It's a small, obscure road.
It doesn't say per day. It says per hour.
Yes.
So 40, well, we all have my paper now. I don't have it, so I'm going from memory.
With the peak highway peak hour.
Right.
A lot different, as a matter of fact.
Is Road 1 24?
No, Route 1.
No, I said on that second page.
Oh.
Or ever.
Yeah.
Where it says B, existing conditions with no development, Road 1 is Route 24.
I would assume
with those numbers, right? Road 2, I guess it's 280 vehicles per hour one way.
At the highway peak.
And that would be Mulberry Knoll Road, you think?
Right.
No way.
Yeah, it is.
It is 281.
It's all based on computer modeling.
Yes, on computer, but okay, that's what they mean. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. And based on number of houses down that road, number of traffic trips already counted.
So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out where they got the numbers on Part A, what he passed out, which is the first page, where it says 41 vehicles per day.
Doesn't say that.
VPD.
Yeah, it
says vehicle per hour. Yes.
Per hour.
No. Part one A.
My paper says PH.
41 VPD.
Oh, per day.
Doesn't that say, isn't that what you referenced? 41 per day?
Oh, well, that paper I have.
And then, they had, if it's under, when it's developed, it would be 1,068 per day.
Yeah, so we're wrong here, right here, which is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about, no matter what, I think even both pages show substantial increases, I guess.
Well, one is an increase of 100 cars per hour, and the other is an increase of about 1,000, over 1,000 cars per hour.
What they're saying.
I would think it's probably more than 41 vehicles per day would go out of that community back and forth. That seems awfully low.
Yeah.
And maybe 281 is probably more realistic, but still, I understand.
Well, they're saying 281 per hour.
Per hour, right?
Right. That's a little high.
That is a little high.
That's a little high.
That means everybody's leaving the community every hour and then coming back every hour or something. That's a lot of action.
Each family would have to make six trips an hour.
Yeah, that's a lot. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition?
Sir? Interesting statistics.
Yeah.
Again, if you'll give your full name and address when you get to the podium.
My name is Joe Szymanski. I live at 20615 Mulberry Knoll Road. And I already forgot who I'm supposed to give.
Just hand it to the good-looking man at the end here.
Better walk toward Robin.
Those are the emails. And this is a petition.
Okay. Is this the same email? Is it the same nine I referenced that I received?
Well, there's 17 there, I think.
Okay, so we have 17.
I got more than nine, so I'm sure.
Okay, that's fine. No, I got nine.
And here are some pictures of two accidents that occurred this past summer. There are two different accidents. That's at Mulberry Knoll and Route 24.
Okay, I'll pass these down for you. Thank you.
Our community is Mulberry Knoll, Bayshore Hills. There's 58 homes in there in size. And in our community, there is a state-owned public launch area that boats go in, go crabbing, go fishing, whatever, and they travel our roads in and out during the summer constantly.
Oh, maybe that's the...
And they're always in a hurry. It's like crabs, the fish are going to go away if they don't get there. We've been having problems with speeding through our neighborhood. A lot of the traffic, well, more than a lot, most of the traffic in our neighborhood does not belong to our neighborhood. If the strip mall goes in, it's going to add even more traffic to our neighborhood. We have problems right now getting out onto 24. It's a dangerous intersection. I think if you live anywhere close to our vicinity, you know 24 is really bad. With the conditions of speeding in our neighborhood, we had asked for assistance from DelDOT, and we were approved for speed control. We were unable to come up with a good method to use. Speed bumps didn't work. Several different options, but we're still trying to get it. So traffic is really a big concern for our neighborhood. Recently we had, up on 24, there's a little deceleration lane to turn right onto Mulberry Knoll Road. We had asked if there could be those flexible pylons put in place so people don't use it as a passing on the right lane. DelDOT had told us that signage was good enough and it didn't need those cones. If we had the cones up there, people turning left to go on the north side of 24 up that Mulberry Knoll Road would hold traffic up enough for at least one or two cars to get out in a safe manner. But even that is not, that wasn't approved.
Is the boat ramp very popular?
The boat ramp actually is very popular.
That could be.
It's not very big.
Right, but that would lead to maybe some of these additional counts for DelDOT if there's traffic not only going for the residential area. I'm sure in the spring, summer, and fall, there's probably substantial boat traffic. Is there a parking area for them to park their
There's a small. There's a small area down there. Besides the fishermen and the crabbers and so forth, we have commercial clammers that keep their boats there. Denrec keeps their, when they harvest the sea lettuce, they keep their equipment parked or anchored there. When they do the harvesting, they bring big trucks in, hauling it, you know, what they cut out, haul them away. So we have traffic enough now. I could see people coming out of that mall and seeing the congestion and not able to get back on the 24. They would probably look down Mulberry Knoll Road and say, there must be a way to get out that way. And they would probably come into our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is a dead end. There's only one way in and one way out for us to leave our community. And adding traffic to that road up at that corner would make it almost impossible to get out. The gentleman said that entrance to the mall off of 24 would be too dangerous. I'm trying to figure out how it could be any more dangerous making a right-hand turn off of 24 into a parking lot than it is turning off of 24 onto Mulberry Knoll Road, or leaving a parking lot onto 24. How can that be any more dangerous than leaving Mulberry Knoll Road onto 24?
Now, this is an office building, right? Mm-hmm. This is an office building
A conditional use for an office.
And parking.
Apartment. Retail too, right? Retail too.
But
yeah,
not
basically.
It's not a mall, is it?
It's called a strip mall.
It's a strip shop.
Okay, it is. It is. Okay. Excuse me. I didn't realize it. That was a correct term. Okay.
Who calls it that?
I don't know. It's a building with a multiple stores in it.
Oh, okay.
Strip shopping center. It's not a mall. I mean, it's only an acre and a half.
It's not a mall, but
just four or five stores, whatever they can get in there.
It can't be too many. Only got 900 square feet.
That's what I'm saying.
For a big mall.
No, malls make it sound like it's big, but I don't believe we would call it a mall. But just
small mall,
two or three stores attached together.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Strip shop.
Strip. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're kind of at. I'm sorry. Our community is kind of at a disadvantage anyway, because we only found out about this 1 week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working very hard to get the concerns and opinions of the neighbor, of our neighbors as to how what they feel about the mall, whatever that is up there. Our concern basically is the safety for our residents who do use Mulberry Knoll Road for exercise by walking or biking or something like that. It would cause problems. So our community is asking that you do not follow the recommendation of Mr. Smith and Mr. Johnson and deny this action.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to speak?
Come on down. Somebody get up and come. Any of you. Just be quick. Keep it moving. That's it.
Hi, I'm Marina Reinemann.
These are your constituents. You better be a little nicer to them.
I like my constituents to keep moving. They're all your constituents too.
Yes. Go ahead and give us your name, please.
Every one of us.
Mr. Cole.
Marina Reinemann, 20668 Mulberry Knoll Road. From listening to this gentleman here, to me it sounds pretty vague. Everything sounds too vague. There's too many what-ifs. We're looking at a doctor's office. We're looking at retail. There's nothing set and cast in stone. Small-scale retail is what he's saying. But in my opinion, I think we have enough small-scale retail in our vicinity. There's also a lot of buildings that are for lease, with vacancies, and why can't some of that building be used? Again, with what this gentleman was saying about floodplains and whatnot, and they'll meet the requirements, we get flooded on that street corner in a heavy rain. I mean, it's not able to handle the water that we're getting now. Let's see. My other concern was this proposal is close to Beacon Middle School, and I'm not sure what the status of it is and where it stands now, but wasn't that one of the arguments that the town of Lewis had in opposition to the proposed shopping center that was to be built across from Cape Henlopen High School? I don't know where that stands, but if there's going to be some sort of a building, construction, retail, whatever going on this site, it's also close to a school. So those were my concerns, ditto to what Joe was saying about the traffic in our neighborhood. It's just an impossibility to get in and out of there. And that's about all I have to say.
How close is shopping to your area? I mean,
we have
how far
Peddler's
would you have
Village
to go?
Down, like 2 miles down the road.
Miles
there's
one way.
Peddler's
how about the
Village.
Other ways?
Oh, there's
even closer.
Route 24, right there.
Route one.
So within 2 miles, you've got
yes shopping centers to get whatever we want.
So if you had to travel west on 24.
Oh God, don't ask me northeast, south, or west. Is that going towards
no,
where?
No. Say if you have to travel towards Millsboro on 24.
Okay.
Coming out of Mulberry Knoll Road. How do you accomplish that?
Well, we wait.
I mean, can you actually get out?
5 to 10 minutes, yes.
Okay.
It's a long wait to get to the left, to the right, or across. When you go across, forget about it. You take your life in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
The cars are coming everywhere, from the left, from the right, from the center.
And the speed limit there is what? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
50.
About 50? 50. Yeah, I think that's one of the problems is the speed limit is very high there. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, next.
Thank you.
I'm Mary Ann Bell, and I live at 20656 Mulberry Knoll Road. The intersection and ditto to what they said. But in the summertime, I don't even go to Peddler's Village or anything. You can't do it. You just can't do it. If I have to go, I go up to Route 1. It's because that's a little more doable going right. I just don't go to the left. You know what I mean? And then when you're coming back, you're like a sitting duck because waiting to turn back into our neighborhood, you know, there's a long line of cars, and you sit there while these cars go on the shoulder, which is illegal, but they do it, and that's why we were trying to get the cones up. Just fly by you, you know, and I'm constantly looking in my mirror waiting for somebody to, you know, because it happens all the time. Or this guy in the summertime also, traffic, it is 50 miles an hour, but it'll get backed up, Route 1 will get backed up past our neighborhood, past our neighborhood, sometimes as far as Love Creek, and then everybody's just creeping along, and you're trying to get out, and they might only be going 10, 15 miles an hour. You get somebody that stops, going to let you in, the guy behind them whips around. I mean, that intersection is a nightmare. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like with any, you know, 50 more cars coming out of there a day. And what you're saying about the study, there's only 58 homes in our neighborhood. I can't imagine that 250 some an hour. I can't imagine 41 an hour. I mean, that's like everybody in the neighborhood leaving. You know what I mean? It's just, so I'm not sure about those figures because it's a very quiet neighborhood.
Because he said they take it off of computer models. I don't think they actually really sit there and count cars.
I mean, it's a very quiet neighborhood. It's, you know, very little, you know, traffic down in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Just at that intersection, you know, people trying to get out, it's a nightmare already. It always has been. I've been there 10 years, and it's gotten progressively worse as they continue to build down 24.
Thank you. Next.
Hi, Eleanor Mazzio, 26014 Mulberry Knoll Road, and I have an email that I didn't hear you read or present.
I already had 9, but everybody else said 17, so.
Well, that was positive. I'll be brief. I don't see the need. I mean, I'm real common sense. What would you do with putting a strip mall in between a few houses and a dirt road? I would love to see a store a little closer, maybe off of 24, but not. There's farmland. There's a, I call it a dirt road, Mulberry Knoll. It's a small little road. I wait to get hit every time I turn in there. I stop, look in my rearview mirror because traffic's moving. We need a light. We need a light. And I'm like a little resentful. Cheryl, who lives in Mulberry Knoll Road, didn't bring this to the community. We, every meeting we have, and we have 3 a year, we're reaching out to DelDOT. There's problems. There's traffic concerns. There's accidents. And the minutes go out. We've talked to DelDOT. These are some of the solutions, suggestions. She knows how the community feels. That's why she didn't bring notice to us and kind of hid it from us. And we found out about this just a week ago because the community is concerned about safety. I would love a store a little closer, but not on Mulberry Knoll between 3 houses. It just doesn't make any sense. Why change the zoning? Are there stores waiting to come in? No. I just don't get why you would change the zoning. I think that's it. I'll ditto everything else in opposition to this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes.
Hello, my name is Sue Denbo, 19688 Mulberry Knoll Road. I'm obviously Ken Denbo's wife. This whole thing is not, it's not been planned well from the beginning. My first introduction with Mrs. Norman Doe, excuse me if I pronounce your name wrong, was September 26th, 2006, the day after my house burnt down. My husband and I are standing there trying to figure out what we're going to do with our lives when we've lost everything. And she walks up to my husband and says, "So, are you ready to sell?" Somebody with that kind of lack of compassion is not going to think about. You brought up a point to my husband about quality of life. I can tell you about quality of life there. I've been there since 78. I've raised children there at my residence. I've raised grandchildren. Do you think this is not going to affect the quality of life with my children, my grandchildren, my 7-year-old I have custody of? She can go out and play. Her and the neighbor kids ride their bikes. She's safe. The neighbors down further down Mulberry Knoll know McKenna's there. They know my granddaughter's there. You put in some businesses, you're going to put in this the retail area. There's also I'm concerned for her safety. With a lot of the child abductions lately, there's going to be more stranger people coming in this area. Right now, McKenna can go outside and the neighborhood kids can go outside and play. They're safe. We know they're safe. Everybody watches out for them. You're going to start having people come in who don't care. I can sit out my back steps now and I see fields. I see my backyard. I sit out my front. I see fields. I don't want to sit out back and see a 6-foot fence blocking me off from the world. It's like they're saying, okay, it almost feels like I would be in a prison. Okay, you've been a bad person, so we're going to take the world away from you. You're going to be situated in this little area. This is not going to enhance anybody in this area's quality of life. It's just, they're building the medical facility at Postal and 24. I mean, Postal and Plantation. Excuse me, that's been approved. Why do we need more so-called proposed medical facilities? It's not needed. There's an oversaturation. It just, people are, they're wanting to take away my quality of life, and nobody consulted me about it. I know they don't have to, but this is my life that we're talking about. This is my daily life. It is quiet. It's serene. You know, I have a high stress job. I can come home and sit outside. I can look at deer. I can look, like I said, at my granddaughter playing, our dogs playing. They're taking this away from me, and it's not fair. I have no, I'm sorry. I think, unless anybody's got some questions for me, I think, this is not a show. This is not put on. This is sincere. This has upset me tremendously because I don't trust her because she wanted to buy my house the day after it was burnt out when we had no idea what we were going to do. This is the kind of person you're dealing with.
Thank you. Next person.
Good evening, council members. My name is Gary Papp. I reside at 34710 Riviera Drive, which is within Mulberry Knoll. I've been a resident in Mulberry Knoll for going on 10 years. I'm a year-round resident. I know very well what the hazards are on a daily basis regarding commuting in and from the development. Obviously, what hasn't been mentioned to this point and what isn't described or in the diagram of these sketches is that Mulberry Knoll Road does not have any shoulders. It is just a very skinny, barely 2 lanes of road, of macadam, the entire distance from the development to 24. The intersection itself is poorly lit, visibility is poor, it is a hazard, clearly by the number of accidents that probably should be researched. Increasing through the years. I firmly believe that the lack of consideration for the traffic is something that should be revisited. There's a lot of agricultural vehicles that travel on that road, tractors, combines. When you're talking about if something like this is to pass, if there's going to be retail traffic, trade traffic, delivery vehicles, in addition to everything else, you're squeezing an awful lot into a very tight space. As a consultant, I am a chef, I do consulting. There was the mention of a retail possible food store. I can easily assess that a business trying to succeed in a tiny location in such a difficult access point would fail. There's businesses failing right now, right on Route 1, right on other main roads. There is no way a business will succeed on its own in a location like that. So I really question the motives behind the intention of the retail. And as far as the medical facility, Beebe Hospital, the Route 24 health campus has space for lease. There's a sign posted right now. There is available space. It does seem unnecessary for a building to be jammed in such a bizarre location. It seems senseless. I don't know what their business plan is, but the hazards this location, if it is to be passed, I think override everything else. It's a very dangerous intersection, which you can only experience if you've actually been on the road, especially in the summertime. Route 1 traffic in the summertime, because of plantations, road lights, because of the school, because of Peddler's Village, this entire stretch commonly backs up from Route 1 all the way past Mulberry Knoll and past the school. It is a grinding, slow crawl. What happens is, in the summertime, people are in a hurry to get to the beach. They're racing along. They're not really paying attention. They don't see any lights up ahead. They don't see traffic slowing down until it's too late. They skid into each other. If you have somebody making a left turn, say they're going from Millsboro to Lewis, they want to make a left turn, they have to stop in the middle of the road. There's no turning lanes. And there's not enough room on the shoulders. So what traffic does is, just like a monkey jumping off a mountain, people follow. They pass by driving through the shoulder and through the intersection. It happens every day. I've been nearly hit. I have kids who drive. They've had near misses. I've seen pedestrians walking along the highway, which I think is crazy. People on bikes. There's just a lot of hazard. So, to me, this proposal is senseless, and I'm pretty confident that the community as a whole is going to battle as much as they can to fight it.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Edward Sandstrom. I live at 34772 Frontier Road in Mulberry Knoll. I'm just going to make a couple of comments. People have talked in rather large terms. Road 284 is an 18-foot road. It's 18 feet wide, which is just enough for two cars. As we speak, there are combines in a field just down Mulberry Knoll. We don't have a chart big enough, but we have combines, and like Gary said, I'm going to say ditto to that. Going out onto Route 24, going left, we go down to Peddler's Village, and it's about just over a mile. You go to the right, you go down to Route 1. Within 5 miles, you can accumulate anything that you would need for your home or for a business. So within very tight radius, we have any kind of a store that you would like. So I just wanted to make these points a little more definite. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies.
Thank you. And there's one gentleman that's been trying to get to the podium here.
Good evening. My name is Leonard Wade, and I live at 34947 East Sands, which is a street off of Mulberry Knoll. I'm in the community with them, and I recently moved here a year and a half ago from New Jersey, which is a dense-packed state. It's a beautiful site plan, but it doesn't show you the problems. There's a tremendous amount of building and parking spaces for 50 cars in an acre and a half? I mean, it's inconceivable. I'm glad he brought the other map of all the businesses, if I can show you. All these other businesses, they all come off of Route 24, the entrance and exits, and they're probably pretty successful. To get that building and the parking spaces in, they couldn't put an entrance on Route 24. So they put it on Mulberry, which is going to create a big problem. I had problems coming here tonight. You know, it's dark. It's an unlit, uncontrolled intersection. I had a way. I wanted to get across 24 and take the back roads because I don't want to add more vehicles to congestion. Couldn't do it. I had to go a right turn, come down the plantation, and take plantation like everybody else does. When I go shopping, I try to get across, and it's almost impossible. Putting this in with the extra traffic is going to be a nightmare. Maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes just to wait for one side to clear. So you have to get the timing right from the lights, which is almost impossible. It's risky business going across that intersection. And to put this in, I'm not against development, but to put this in with the entrance and egress on Mulberry Knoll, it's going to be a nightmare. It's an unimproved road, really. There's potholes all over the place. And when you want to go in, you're heading east, and want to turn in, you have to go real slow because of there's only a small shoulder that's painted for you to make that turn. That shoulder, if you went with this plan, you're going to have to spend some more money on paint to allow more cars to back up to make that right-hand turn. It's just going to be a nightmare. Eventually, you're going to need to spend money on putting in a light, which is a big expense, all for a business I don't think is going to make it because you can't get in from Route 24. I don't shop where it's difficult to drive. If I have to go out of my way, it's not easy on, easy off, and I don't want to shop there. So I can see these buildings staying vacant for a long time, and I don't think we're ever going to recoup the money that we spend to do improvements versus what we're going to get in revenues. So I'm against it. But I'm not against development, just this particular one. Thank you.
Anyone else? If not, I don't see anyone else coming up, Mr. President. So at this point, the public hearing is complete.
Yes. Does council have any thoughts? Mr. Cole?
I would just say go ahead and close. I think we've heard enough. I think we understand the issues. And I know Joan's very familiar with the area. I'm fairly familiar with the area. I go down quite a bit. So I think I wouldn't mind deferring and with this all this information and giving the opportunity to the other councilman to get down there maybe and take a ride, take another look at it. So and I'd like to make a motion we defer on the at this point.
Okay. With that motion on the floor, I would ask you are comfortable with not only closing the public hearing but also the public record, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The public
hearing. I didn't hear anybody say anything that there's did anybody else hear anything we needed any more information?
No. Nope. I just want to make that clear. Fine. All right, public record and public hearing is closed. We have a motion on the floor to defer. this application. Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second to defer this application. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Stever?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you for coming, folks.
I will entertain a motion to...
Take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
And second. In discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
I got no problem with that. I told Dave Baker, I said, do we use this place for a polling place? No. I said, then why we got to close?
Because Sam and I got to be out working that day. Tell him, Sam, these guys don't know what
in this building, he said no.
There's not in this one?
Oh, that's right. It's
right. But then Robin told me the reason we should close is because there's some county employees who work polling places that day to make extra money. Yeah.
Hey, George goes right along with that.